Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, my guest today is Clay Patterson of Digital Space Marketing. From starting his first company when he was 15 to the founding of Digital Space Marketing, Clay has always loved technology and marketing. While running a dynamic, multi-talented team of industry experts, each day presents itself with a new opportunity to learn, evolve, and grow. These opportunities have allowed Clay and his team to expand into many different industries. Thanks so much for joining us today, Clay.
Thanks for having me.
So let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So what motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
That's a good question. Thank you. So what motivates me and inspires me as an entrepreneur? I would say just the opportunities out in the marketplace and the variety aspects that us as entrepreneurs get to be in front of at all different times, you know, during our not just professional and business life cycle, but during the life cycle of each individual endeavor that a lot of entrepreneurs tend to chase.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome. And then how did you originally get into digital marketing?
So I began building websites when I was 15. I took all the technology classes I could in high school, started, you know, from scratch building websites using Macromedia, Tool Suite, and other sources like that.
Nice.
And then went to Florida State for undergrad and actually got a law degree after undergrad. And I'm licensed here in Florida. And at that time, I got involved with a venture capital group right about that time, and we needed to build a website for a project. And I hadn't built a website in a few years, but figured I could just hop on YouTube University and reteach myself the skill set. And so for that project, I built the website. We were launching a water sports platform and beginning the phase of raising money for it. And then I had a few friends and family reach out asking me if I could build them websites as well. And that's when I took on my first paid client. I believe I built three websites for them for $750 total. and then from there, just begun, continuing to build websites for people and pivoted really quick to the digital marketing world I wanted to build long-term relationships with clients and with the project world of just building websites, you kind of churn and burn and you have to build a lot of websites each month, each week, each year, and always find new clients. And I found that once the client's website was built, depending on the type of business, they really didn't know what to do with it next. So there was a massive need to fulfill that gap, and that's where I launched Digital Space Marketing.
Very cool. And that's so interesting that you're a lawyer as well. So how has that given you sort of a leg up on the competition, being a lawyer?
So looking at the world like through the lens as an attorney, I think helps A, contractually, and B, I'm noticing a massive increase in the ADA compliance aspect of the digital world. And
yes,
having, not everyone uses the typical keyboard and mouse to access the internet. Blind or disabled internet users use other mediums, screen reader programs, and all sorts of things to where it's become a massive, hindrance for people with such disabilities to access the internet if the website is not structured correctly. So yes. I think in the marketplace, you know, an advantage as an attorney is having a background in technical website development, and then crossing that with all the ADA compliance issues that are coming out of the legal system here and being mm-hmm. able to navigate through that. And on that subject, it just has to do with, you know, if we were having an SEO conversation about how to get your website to the first page of Google, well, I would put on that SEO hat and we could talk about, you know, what's under the hood of that car. We look at the front end body kit of any website. You can tell if it looks good or doesn't look good, but really what's going to determine if it ranks well online is what's under that hood. Mm-hmm. And so with that hat on, you know, you're able to advise clients that way. But then if a client came to me with a lawsuit from a disabled, you know, internet user saying they couldn't access the website, well, you could put a different hat on, an ADA website compliance hat. Mm-hmm. And from that conversation, we're looking at the same things under the hood of the engine. Why can't they see the pictures online? Why don't the images have alternative text? Why can their screen reader not crawl the certain code? And by fixing a lot of these ADA requirements that are preventing, you know, handicapped internet users from accessing websites, it'll result in higher rankings on Google. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on like what lens you're looking out of when advising clients. But I think, you know, having the law degree, having that background, being able to code as an attorney, and being able to manage, you know, a team of developers here at Digital Space Marketing, I think it provides a strategic advantage the way the environment's going, considering how litigious our nation in the U.S. has become.
Yes, 100%. And I really like how you really paint that picture of describing what's under the hood and what does the engine look like. So how important is it to have that consultative role with potential clients?
It depends on, I think it adds, you know, it's very important to have, and it depends on where the client is coming from. Mm-hmm. If the client had just been sued, you're in a little bit of a different boat than a client who you're rebuilding their website and they're aware of ADA issues. Or, for instance, if I'm trying to cover my own business and say, hey, just to let you guys know, we're seeing a 80% increase in ADA websites getting ADA website lawsuits in the United States. Here's the issue. For an extra fee or for extra time my team will put in, we can audit the website. We can, you know, use actual human beings who use screen readers on a daily basis who are blind and they know how to computer code. And we can have them run through the website to see if it's crawlable. So it's becoming more important with this ADA website accessibility issues as we move further and further, you know, with our level of dependency on technology. Mm-hmm. And from the aspect, I'm on the defense side, so I'm primarily helping businesses defend these lawsuits, get their websites up and running, because it's not fair for, you know, small business owners, medium-sized business owners who have no idea about these ADA requirements to get sued and then have to close their website down or not be able to properly defend it.
Yes.
You know, so there are the attorneys out there who are just going through websites just like they did back in the 60s and 70s with the ADA, when they would look for businesses not having handicap ramps. They would sue the business saying, hey, our disabled client is unable to access your facility because you don't have a handicap ramp, and thus your company is discriminating against disabled people. Mm-hmm. Well, now those same attorneys are finding the websites saying, hey, our disabled internet user client is unable to access your website against disabled people. So, you know, I think you can take a preventative approach in that, you know, in that vertical of the digital world from the start. Mm-hmm. And depending on how serious you want to be, there's a lot of different, you know, levels of compliance that you could deploy. But additionally, some companies can't take the preventative approach and they have to take the whoops, we just got sued approach.
Yeah.
They don't have the choice.
Got it. Okay. So is ADA compliance a service that you would offer as a foot in the door strategy ever, or do you have a specific foot in the door strategy that you ever utilize within your agency?
Yeah. So I have for sure used that. It depends, you know, on who you're selling to, how you're getting that foot in the door. If you do want to use kind of the scare tactic of, you know, your website is not compliant, you could get sued for this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's similar to an SSL certificate and securing a site. You know, your site is not secured, you're, you know, vulnerable to a breach. Mm-hmm. And then, so I think it is a good, you know, area to get the conversation going in. And I think it adds additional value. For an enterprise client, they're wanting to have these discussions and they're going to feel much more comfortable with someone handling their website who is able to have a conversation on this topic and at least making them aware of it. Because
totally,
90% of the companies out there building websites are not having that conversation. And I think mm-hmm. that goes to the digital marketing world, you know, dissimilar to the legal industry, which is regulated by the bar. The digital marketing world's not regulated. So anyone can charge any price for any service and you don't know what you're getting, which I think is why some digital marketers have been getting, you know, bad reputations around town. Mm-hmm. And clients sometimes feel that they've been screwed over. And so I think like that ties into, you know, other lead generation tools that, you know, our agency uses is, you know, complimentary audits, complimentary technical website audits, and then, you know, walking through reports, through organic rankings and through the customer journey, breaking that down and having a conversation with clients about what can be deployed at each stage in the customer's journey. You know, there's mm-hmm. lots of different levers we can pull at the awareness stage of the journey. And after you've made the sale, we can pull levers such as review requests, refer, you know, more clients. Do you have anyone else that would use our services? Of course, you know, it need to be a little tailored depending on what business it is. Mm-hmm. Whether you're doing wills and trusts for a client or whether you're selling oil rigs, it's going to be a little bit of a different ask at the end once someone's committed to your services. But I think focusing on the education aspect before you're paid is how we generate clients. You know, it's really sitting down, taking the time to simply educate people on these digital marketing topics is so key because it is so foreign to a lot of people. And breaking it down in a way that they can understand that, hey, listen, you can have a business card website or you can send your website out in the environment and it can sell for your business 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It can cross any geographic boundary instantly, and it can get in front of millions of people all in 1 second. It doesn't eat, it doesn't sleep, it doesn't poop, it doesn't complain. And so it's out there doing what it can do for you. And I don't think a lot of businesses are leveraging that because they don't quite, even these days, they just don't quite understand how to leverage it because they're a little bit confused on the industry or they've gotten burned out or they believe that they don't need it. And I think, you know, we're at 2022 or March 2022 right now. And so looking back at what COVID's done to the physical world as it shrunk during COVID, the digital world's just expanding. And I think more businesses now are realizing that.
Yeah. And these business owners, it's like, you don't know what you don't know. Right. So I think, you're bang on when you said, you've just got to take that educational approach and, just teach them, you know, what is going to be really beneficial to their business. So do you have any tips for bringing in more leads so that you can be, you know, educating them and growing your agency from there?
I think on the lead generation side, however you want to term it, you can use lead magnets and lead generation tools, such as guides, downloads, audits, checklists, as well as speaking gigs and book writing. I think all of that adds value to, you know, if you're familiar with Ryan Deese and some of the digital marketer .com context of things, you know, putting lead magnets in front of people, seeing who's interested, and then of course heavy retargeting. The amount of digital marketing companies, when I look at their websites and they don't have proper retargeting pixels, proper LinkedIn retargeting pixels for the B2B space, it's kind of shocking. And unfortunately, consumers can't, they really aren't checking if their digital marketing company has a retargeting pixel on their website, but they should be. If they could, they should. And so I think, you know, generating that awareness at the top of the funnel and then heavy retargeting to very specific niche areas of focus is key too. I think if you're trying to sell to everybody, it's not going to be as well as going niche with only focusing on cosmetic dentists who do, you know, face surgery or whatever it may be, so that all of your content and all of your lead magnets are all focused around that group of individuals within your target market.
Yes, I completely agree. And so who do you guys primarily serve? What niche do you guys serve?
So we're big into the plastic surgeon space, the LASIK eye and cosmetic space, cosmetic dentistry. And then we have some separate brands too that focus on the clinical research space. We've worked with a lot of clinical research sites and pharmaceutical companies to run, you know, massive marketing campaigns to get people to participate in, let's say, migraine studies or herniated disc studies. And so there's different options there, because at the clinical research level, you can either advertise on behalf of the client's clinical research site through their own channels, like their own Facebook accounts, their own Instagram accounts. But additionally, you can go with the, if you're advertising on behalf of a pharmaceutical company, you're going to have a third party website, such as Brighter Research or something like that, that takes all of the leads and takes all the voluntary participants for the trial, and then you're going to have to filter those to the clinical research site. So you have to build a database and then filter those down and feed those leads into each clinical research site. So those are primarily where we're focused right now. We work with a lot of cataract surgeons around town. I'm involved in a cataract project called Best Cataract Surgeons that is really focusing on educating the population on the need for proper cataract surgery. And as the baby boomers get older, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there. And so there's been a great group of cataract surgeons who are wanting to provide high quality cataract education to patients and then connect them with some of the best doctors inside the US. So
interesting.
All things like that.
Very cool.
Yeah, this is why my legal career lasted about 30 days.
Yeah.
I love the digital marketing world and love all this. It's so much fun. And there's so many, you know, verticals to it, especially from our perspective as a full service agency. You know, there's a lot going on with it. And there's a reason why there's specialists who only focus on SEO, you know, or just on-site SEO, just off-site SEO. And then just Google ads, just Facebook ads. So I think, you know, I think there's opportunity there for the specialists. But additionally, I think there's a lot of opportunity for full service agencies, because people don't want to hire 20 different specialists who aren't communicating with each other. They want to go somewhere and know that the company understands and has the depth in each of these subjects and has the resources in place and specialists within the agency who, you know, can move everything forward and talk with their developers, who can talk with their, you know, data and analytics team, who can talk with their paid ad specialists, you know, and building those landing pages and split testing landing pages and split testing design. So all of that is important, you know, as you move through that.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And so how do you build trust with your clients and help boost your client retention?
That is a good question. So I think building trust, you know, doing quality work, it goes back to this regulation aspect of this industry not being regulated. Yeah. And so at Digital Space Marketing, we've taken it to ourselves to self-regulate in the means of client-facing checklists, client-facing audits that we show clients saying, this is our website. This is what we're going to build. And here's our checklist. This is our client-facing checklist. You don't even want to see our internal checklist that we hold ourselves accountable to because it'll make your head spin. But this is what you get for the price of this level one, level two, level three, whatever the level is, website. So that it's very transparent, because other agencies who aren't using, you know, a self-regulation aspect, their clients just have no idea. I mean, the amount of Squarespace sites that are built for over $20,000 that end up not ranking online is sometimes sad to see. And it's terrible when you come to a client and you're like, hey, you're in this vehicle and you're asking Digital Space Marketing here to drive this vehicle and win this race for you. But the body kit, it's got a Ferrari body kit. It looks beautiful, but it's got a Honda Civic engine, and we're going to be racing against people with Ferrari engines. Like, mm-hmm. I hate to say it. I know you just built this engine and you just, you know, paid a bunch of money for this engine, but now we have the option of pulling some of the parts out and fixing some of the technical SEO issues, or we have the option of dropping a new engine in it. And so that's really frustrating, like, with clients. And I think, you know, building trust goes back to doing what's best for the client. If it doesn't make sense to rebuild the site and it's going to be better for the client, I would like to look at it the next 3 to 4 years. If it's going to be better for the client the next 3 to 4 years to not build the site, to rebuild it, then you don't do that and you advise accordingly. And I think for us at Digital Space Marketing, we're not a project-based business, so we can come from that lens. Mm-hmm. And I understand when a project-based business has to come and they say, no, we got to rebuild this whole thing, you know, because mm-hmm. that's how they make money. So I think, you know, encouraging clients to talk with multiple agencies or multiple technical experts also helps to build trust as well. Mm-hmm. And then I think on the retention side, we implemented a month-to-month contract here at our company, and that helped a lot. You know, if clients don't want to work with us, I don't want to work with them. If it's not a good fit for them, I wouldn't want them to be locked into a long-term contract, even yeah. though the lawyer side of me says, lock them in. That's still not what's best to do in the industry. So I think when you approach it, you know, very transparently, and you walk them through mm-hmm. and you do take that education approach as opposed to the sales approach and just trying to sell them on the highest custom built website mm-hmm. just because that's what you offer and that's what you make more money off of, I just don't think that's the right thing to do. And a lot of people don't need that. Most clients don't need a fully custom integrated, custom built website with all this, you know, custom databases.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think your clients are just going to respect the fact that you're open and transparent with them. And yeah, that'll just help work wonders for building that trust early on in the relationship.
Absolutely. I think it's very important to do. And I think, you know, the industry is, you know, when we first kind of started talking about it, the industry is ripe for people doing this the right way, because a lot of people have just been screwed over with, hey, I'll build you. So I had a client, they came, oh, he was an amazing friend. He's still a client today, but he had his website rebuilt by a local, like, marketing guy. Mm-hmm. And the website got done. And then from there, he lost all of his organic rankings. And so he was on the first page of Google for, you know, let's say 100 different keyword terms. When you type personal injury attorney Orlando or something like that, and he was there. And then he got his site rebuilt and the whole thing lost all of his rankings, which lost all of his new clients. Oh. So he came into our office and was a grown man crying. And, you know, it was amazing to be able to, you know, calm him down, educate him on what had happened, and come in and be able to rebuild the site, restore the database, and, you know, do it right from the start. Mm-hmm. And it's just situations like this that's happening all over. And it's not the consumer's fault. You know, they're depending on the expert digital marketer or professional website developer or whoever it may be that they're having the conversation with to do what's best for them. And unfortunately, you see it a lot. And you just see it a lot.
Yeah.
So I think there's a huge opportunity to do it right.
Yeah. And I think when it comes to building trust as well, sharing stories of those, you know, when you have the client that comes to you, they've just had this traumatic experience they've had to deal with, and then, you know, you're able to turn it around for them. And then being able to share those results with new prospective clients will also go a ways to building trust with them as well.
Absolutely. And I think that ties, I mean, that's such a great point you make. And I think for an agency that does provide that and is able to provide the marketplace with those transparent solutions and really help businesses grow, you know, shoot the video, which I did in this situation. I shot the video of, you know, hey, client, please tell me your experience before you met us. And he goes through this story. And I have our video team, you know, shooting this. And then what did digital space marketing do when you first met with them? What's your site like now? So you get that before state, and, you know, the before after state in digital marketing works really well. So what was your life like before? And what was your life like after you worked with this client? And that can go across any industry. If you look at any car commercial, it sure shows the after state of what it's like driving in their car.
Yes.
And so I think that's super important. And when agencies do it right, leverage that and, you know, blast it out to the environment, because that's one of your best lead generation tools.
Yes, absolutely.
If not the best.
Yep. Having those case studies, testimonials, reviews, all that jazz, and using it as social proof is so powerful.
Absolutely.
So what has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome when growing your agency?
That's a good question. So with being a full service agency, the first thing that comes to mind would be systems and processes. You know, with managing multiple projects, multiple marketing campaigns, split testing, lots of different landing pages, technical website, you know, issues that a client brings to you, anything like that, you need systems and processes in each vertical of the agency, and everyone needs to talk to each other. So, you know, making sure communication lines are in place. And I think getting that, I think we're 5-6 years old now. Mm-hmm. But we're still constantly tweaking that. And I think that's been, you know, one of the hardest challenges and one of the biggest obstacles to overcome is stopping to focus on the business. You know, clients are calling, new business is calling, and to stop and sit down for a few hours and redraft, let's just throw out there, our website building agreement that, you know, puts in place certain milestones for client communication, being, hey, client, if you don't respond in 7 days to our requests, you're going to go in a bucket. And if you're in this bucket, we're going to charge you, you know, a restartup fee, because we need to move this project through our pipeline within the time frame that we've allocated for this, because if not, clients don't get back to you. Sitting down to focus on those things is tedious and it's not fun. So I think it's one of the biggest obstacles to overcome for a full service agency or maybe even any business is to sit down and put those systems and processes in place that'll eventually take you one step back, but three forward.
Yes. Oh, I love that. That's important. Yeah. I think that's something, you know, every agency owner can relate to is when your client just is taking way too long to get back to you and you're waiting on them for material. So do you have any other tips for improving the, you know, preventing your clients from that delay and getting back to you?
I think so on that, like, especially as an attorney, I think contractually you throw it in. Mm-hmm. You put very strict guidelines that during the, you know, pre-meeting, whether it's digital marketing or anything, hey, this is how, what it's like to work with us. This is our step-by-step, you know, guide to success for launching your new website, launching this new project, you know, launching these marketing campaigns, selling this service, whatever it may be. It applies to so many different industries. So you go through it with them during that consultation, and then they sign off on it when the project kicks off or they hire you for your services or, you know, products. Mm-hmm. And then the trick comes in, you know, kind of nudging them and sending that reminder. And at the end of the day, we're all trying to create raving fans. So at least you have laid out the expectations. And I think when it comes down to it, you're not going to necessarily pull the card of, hey, now we're charging you a bunch of money to restart it. Mm-hmm. But you do have that option. And I think it moves the client through because they appreciate it and they want the accountability. And it's maybe their first time building a website or launching a marketing campaign. And mm-hmm. so they don't know what to expect. And when you do show them grace too of, hey, it's been 9 days, 14 days. Hey, you haven't got back to us. It's been a month. And you're not charging them that. I think that goes far in creating those raving fans. I mean, we have those agreements in place, but mm-hmm. we don't put the hammer down. We point to it a lot, but we don't necessarily put the hammer down on clients because we want the experience to be positive. We know yeah. this is their first time. And at the end of the day, we want them to be happy. So we're at Digital Space Marketing. We're not that project-based company. And so even though a lot of times the website builds do lead to, you know, digital marketing clients, we want them to refer our friends. We want them, we often hear, gosh, they were really patient with us. You know, they know when they need to get back to you. But oftentimes they're waiting on someone else to get approval and yes. waiting on their team. So I think it's a challenge for everybody, but that's how we've kind of deployed some solutions that move it a little bit closer. And then I think to a lot of clients, I think at the beginning of the relationship, ask, hey, how involved do you want to be? Do you want our team to just handle it all? Or do you want us to hold your hand across every single sidewalk? Because mm-hmm. we don't mind that. We're very good at holding hands. We have great hands and we'll walk you across. But some clients just want you to do it, and that's what they're paying for. And that's right. another thing that I'm working with our team on is, you know, some of these clients who we're struggling to hear back from, they might not have wanted that. And for me, the type of business owner that I am, our team built our site or build sites, and I haven't even gone through the whole thing. I trust my team to do excellent work, and I think clients want the same thing, to be able to trust you to deliver a product that, you know, is solid, sound, and ready to go, and emphasizing to them, at least with the projects, that your website is not a one and done thing. Let's get this website launched as fast as possible. Let's get it indexed by Google. And then let's use data to start editing it month over month over month. You know, so I think agencies can increase their value and developers can increase their value by getting those retainers for the month over month mark, and clients benefit because they get their brand new website indexed and to the marketplace faster and allow them to start testing quicker. So I think it's yes. a win-win for both client, you know, and agency or service provider to approach websites that way and approach any product or service that way.
Yes, that's so well said. And where do you see digital space marketing in 5 years' time?
Well, hopefully up in space somewhere, but until we officially get out of the atmosphere, we'll be we're moving more into the clinical research space and, you know, some of that area, as well as, you know, onboarding more and more plastic surgeons, dermatologists, LASIK eye surgeons, and a lot of these industries that are going to be expanding due to the need that the baby boomers are going to have.
Right.
I think there's huge opportunities there. So I'm an entrepreneur from my core. So I see, you know, the agency being a part of, you know, not just our clients' growth, but also projects that, you know, I'm getting off the ground's growth and, you know, helping nonprofits grow and, you know, hopefully just continue to add value to the marketplace in a transparent way, whether that's a fee-based service or whether it's just adding value for and not getting paid for things such as, you know, writing books or seminars or anything like that, mm-hmm. to just expand the educational aspect of this digital world.
Awesome. Well, I'm really excited to see where you guys are headed in 5 years' time.
Sweet. Well, I appreciate that.
So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I think if I could look back, would be The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. It is really good, just on the present moment and, you know, being present.
Yeah, I read that one years ago. Yeah, that was a good book. And what does your morning routine look like?
Ooh, so I'm kind of kooky. I have an infrared sauna and a cold plunge at my place. Typically I wake up and I have a sunrise alarm clock. So that gets me going. That'll wake me up and I will watch a 10 to 15 minute video right when I wake up on something positive, something motivational, as my brain's still just like operating in dream mode. In a very suggestible, you know, wavelength pattern.
Yep.
And then I do a 15-minute meditation. My sauna is usually heated up by then. I hop in there for about a half hour in the infrared sauna, and then from there directly into the cold plunge, which is around 40 degrees. And then at that point, I am ready.
Awesome. Okay.
Yes.
Awesome. So how long do you do the cold plunge for?
Ooh. I've been doing it for about 5 to 8 minutes.
Okay. Wow. And what benefits have you found from doing it?
I think circulation, and it's one of those things that I think, you know, there's the physical benefits for sure. And I think also one of the biggest things is just the mental benefit of my body not wanting to ever do it. Just right. Like I don't want to do a lot of tasks in the day that I, you know, need to do. And I think it teaches me a lot about controlling, you know, the body of, hey, Clay, nope, you're getting in this cold plunge no matter what, because it's good for you and it's going to feel better for you. Just like the task of, hey, you're going to focus on the systems and operations of the business, not because you want to. I know you're not excited to, but because we're doing this right now and we're blocked off the time and let's go. So I think it applies to so many different areas of life.
Awesome. So it just helps build that kind of mental toughness and discipline, basically.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Awesome. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I think the CEOs I follow and study would be the local CEOs. I'm out of Orlando, Florida. So I'm in a few CEO groups, but probably a few of my friends here who are close, who advise me. And, you know, I think surrounding myself with those CEOs has helped me significantly, because you realize, especially as a solo entrepreneur or if you have partners and stuff, you realize so many other people are in the boat and wanting to give back. Shoot, they all want to help.
I love that. That's awesome. And what is your favorite online tool?
For digital, in the like digital marketing world?
Yes.
Or just in general?
One that you use in your business.
Okay, we use We've been using ClickUp as a project management tool. We were using Basecamp, but it didn't provide as robust of integrations as we needed with automations. And we switched to a company called ClickUp, and it is amazing for anyone in the digital world or running multiple projects.
Awesome.
It's great.
Nice. Perfect. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I think even now I'm still learning the lesson, would be focus. Would be the ability and what being able to block out the noise and sit down and focus and chunk time and get rid of everything in front of you. How much that benefits, you know, your physical, spiritual, mental well-being of moving things forward, growing your company, growing yourself, whether you're learning an instrument, whether you're trying to build a website, whether you're running marketing campaigns or building a business, it all comes down to focus. And I think if I would have learned that at a younger age, I would have probably been able to move things forward quicker and had more free time and had more freedom as opposed to being distracted, you know, with tasks and feeling like you didn't get as much done as you could have.
Yeah, exactly. Such wise words. I love it.
I wish.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Clay. It's been really great having you on the podcast, and I appreciate you joining us.
Yes, Julia. Thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.